I want to encourage you. There are many, many opportunities to be part of prayer. And today we're going to look at prayer as part of Northbrook's vision and fulfilling the ministry in that Northbrook has. Now, the vision that God gave me for Northbrook when I came and God's call was upon me, I saw one church of multiple congregations, of multiple groups, which represented the community worshiping and working together for God's glory. That's what we have going on here now. Also, when I came, we talked about what is the purpose that God has for us. Why is this church still here? Why did we not close the doors? And what was that purpose? Serving our neighbors with Christ's love. Well, we needed to define love with that because that's what we're supposed to be serving with. So we've defined love as selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's our base. That's where we're starting from. And the three ways that we're going to build on that and grow this church, and not just numerically, but also spiritually in depth and maturity, is prayer, multicultural, and missions. I'm going to define what the other two mean over the next 2 weeks. Next week we'll be looking at that multicultural face that the church is to be, and we'll be in the same scripture passage that we are today. But today we're going to be looking at and focusing on prayer. Prayer. And the passage that we're looking at is a small piece. Now, normally I take a larger piece of scripture and address it. This week I'm really kind of narrowing it down. We're looking at chapter 56 of Isaiah, verse 7c. So that what does that mean when you say C? There's actually three sentences or three phrases within that verse of chapter 7, and we're looking at the third one, and it reads, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you indeed are the God of prayer. But Lord, we ask you, what does that mean? Speak to us that we might know. Lord, I ask that you would empower me to preach your word and to speak your truth through the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And I ask your people here would hear your voice and be led by your Spirit and be empowered for the work that you have for us here this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer. My house will be called the house of prayer. So if we're calling it a house of prayer, what are we talking about? What is it? Many people walk in and I say, "Wow, you got a lot of books. You read them all?" No, I haven't read them all. But I do look at them all. I reference them. This particular book is a book of quotes. I pulled it out here this week and was going through and looking at some of the quotes about prayer. How do I tell people about prayer? Well, first off, let's always look at the scriptures themselves. One scripture verse, 1 Samuel, says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." So we see that prayer seems to be important because it's sin if I don't pray for you, so I better know what prayer is so that I can do it, right? Then we see that Scripture also talks about prayer without even using the word. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." It's Matthew 7:7. And when we look at the whole context, just before that is the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Okay, I still haven't told you what prayer is, have I? What's this need? Well, here's a poem which the author is unknown. Some of you are familiar with it, I'm sure. But again, it lays out the need for prayer. It says, "I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys in the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, but I had to take time to pray." Many of us think that prayer is something that we just only really spiritual people are to do. And as a matter of fact, it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, "I know of no better thermometer for your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer." But we say that prayer is only for the spiritual when we forget about the fact that we are spirit. I saw a posting on Facebook, Face Cult, for those of you who participate. Facebook. It was a quote by C.S. Lewis. And now I'm going to mess it up. I should have printed it out. I was sure I could remember it. I should know better. But it says, we are not a body. We are a soul that has a body. Think about that. You are not this flesh and blood thing that you walk around in, that you are here on this earth in. This is just a vessel that contains the soul, which is you. The soul is that which is eternal. So we are each one spiritual, whether we know it, like it, or not. But what is the depth? What is our spiritual temperature? What is our closeness to God? We see that prayer, we were getting on to what is prayer? Well, prayer is a shield to the soul. Oh, it's my shield. I'm the soul, right? If I am soul, prayer is a shield, protection for me. It's a sacrifice to God, and it's a scourge to Satan. A scourge is a whip that's got a lot of nasty stuff woven into the ends of it that makes it even a more terrible weapon and rod of punishment than it was originally intended. Okay, that's prayer. Prayer is also not a monologue, but dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is its most essential part. That's Andrew Murray. Some of you have heard of Andrew Murray. A couple hands going, yeah, I know who Andrew Murray is. If you want to learn a good book on prayer, I've got one by Andrew Murray, and you can find a few others. prayer is not monologue, but dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is its most essential part. Most of us think that prayer is all about what I've got to tell God. Here's the secret. God already knows. The most essential part isn't that I talk to God, but that I listen to what He has to say to me and listen to His voice. Sometimes, you ever been so busy talking that you didn't hear what somebody else had to say, or maybe you had something important to say, but the person that you wanted to say it to was just so busy talking that you never had a chance to tell them? This is often what we get confused with when we think of prayer. We think it's all about going on and on and on and telling God. God already knows. Yes, we need to confess to God, but then we need to be quiet and listen and know that He is indeed God. The essence of prayer does not consist in asking God for something, but in opening our hearts to God and speaking with Him and living with Him in perpetual communion. This is by Sadhu Sundar Singh. And one more quote I want to read for you this morning, which I wasn't going to read, but then when watching the video, I felt that about the power of prayer. Mary, Queen of Scots, said this: "I fear John Knox's prayers more than an army of 10,000 men." Now, why did Mary, Queen of Scots, fear John Knox's prayers? Because she knew their effectiveness. And she knew she wasn't acting according to the will of God. Because if she was, John Knox's prayers would have been her greatest asset. Not something to be fearful of. So prayer. Prayer, the word, is used in Scripture. The word, prayer, and its derivatives of prayer, praying. No, not praise. Just prayer. It's used 375 times. Of that, 58 times, it's either Jesus talking and using the word, or it's referring to Jesus and His action. In the Gospels, directly. It's either directly referring to Jesus or Jesus directly speaking it. Prayer, 58 times. Now we think that preaching is so important that I get up here and preach every week. We gather together so that you can all hear me preach. No, we don't. We come here to worship God. But somehow we seem to think that preaching is important, but yet we find that preach is used 125 times. That's one third of prayer. So why we're supposed to preach the word, we're supposed to tell people about God in a 3-to-1 ratio. We're supposed to be seeking after God more than we're supposed to be telling others about God. But yet, telling others about God is the command that God gave us. Yes, it is. But He says, how can you tell others about me if you don't know me? How do we get to know Him? How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. You talk with them. That's prayer. Prayer. It says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. My house. God's house. Is this God's house? Anybody? Are you God's house? I got Scripture to back that up if anybody questions it. That's right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're going to see all about how we indeed, individually and corporately, are God's house. The church is indeed the building, but it is more emphatically the people, the body. Individually and corporately. It's not this or that. It's this and that. This is the church. My church, my house, the place that I reside, will be known as a house of prayer. So where I reside will be known as a place where you can come and talk to me. Because that's what prayer literally means. It's having that conversation with God. And remember, conversation with God isn't us speaking at Him, trying to somehow find the magic phrase that'll get Him to do what He does. He is not a genie where if I say just the right phrase, I can compel God to do my will. Prayer is whereby I lay my heart before God. I confess my shortcomings. Where I've fallen short of the mark. That's sin. And then, I listen to God. And He tells me how much He loves me. How He forgives me of my shortcomings. And still loves me. Oh, and how He has work for me to do. And this is what I would have you to do. And this is the price you must pay on my behalf. Because the work that I give you isn't necessarily going to be easy. See? Even though He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's a yoke, it is a burden. But why is it easy and why is it light? Because He doesn't just give us that task. But through prayer, He allows us to access the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't go to God seeking His strength, and we try to do something in our strength, it's not going to work. It will not, it cannot have eternal reward and results. But God can use us, these frail, fallible, mortal instruments, to do His work. If He is the hand that's guiding it, if He is the power behind it. And that's through prayer. It is prayer that opens up all this for us. That is why we as a church need to build prayer into everything we do. Individually and corporately. So I just bless Minnesota. Yes, this is what we need to do. Serving our neighbors with God's love. How more awesome can we be? Lord, bless my neighbor. Is there a more loving action? Oh. And we're praying for them. Going to God, show me how You would have me to pray for my neighbor. You know what? He will answer that prayer. He answers that prayer. Now God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is, not today. Sometimes the answer is, not only is it no, but you need to rethink your whole question. So this is why we have prayer. This is why I am preaching about prayer today. Because prayer is what God uses to empower us, to get to know us, to guide us and direct us. Without prayer, the church is no more than a social club. And quite frankly, people, we're not that interesting. But God is. He's great. He is awesome. And He will carry us through if we will do what it is He's asked us to do. When we try to go on our own way and do it our own way, He's not going to empower it and bless it. And guess what happens? We're going to fail. But if we go the direction He has guided and directed, even if it looks like failure, it is victory. The cross, it looked like failure. It looked like utter defeat. But it was the exact opposite. It was the ultimate victory. What did Jesus do before He went to the cross? He prayed. And what did Jesus do while He was on the cross? He prayed. What did the early church do in order to know and seek God's will? They prayed. What did the early church do when they got in the midst of trials and difficulties? They prayed. People, are you seeing a theme? Prayer is what the church is supposed to do, not as the last option, but has been said many times as the first option. It is indeed the first thing that we are to be doing in all that we do, is to first pray. So here at Northbrook, this is what we're going to be doing. There are many, many, many options of what we can do to incorporate prayer. There's the College of Prayer, which I've been involved with. We've done some teaching and preaching on that. I went through a whole series about the Lord's Prayer. I passed out this little tool. This is something I got from the College of Prayer, some teaching. This fall, we will be having a quick start event here where I will be seeking to start a College of Prayer campus here in the Twin Cities. But it's not going to be just me. I've spoken with leaders from other congregations and other ministries. And we're going to come together and put together this event so that this winter, January or thereabouts, January, February, we hope to start a new campus with College of Prayer. But even before we start a new campus of the College of Prayer, which will involve many church leaders and prayer warriors from all around the Twin Cities, this church is going to be doing a small group on prayer. Well, who's going to be doing it? Where? We'll tell you more about it later. I like to leave you thinking about it. But pray, Lord, do you want me to be part of that? Is that a burden that you have on my heart? Because we will be praying. We'll have small groups that do prayer. We have groups that already meet for prayer. We got people here every morning praying. Come and join them. We have Bless Minnesota. Be part of this. You have a committee meeting that you're part of? Are you praying? Pray. Well, we have too much work to do. We don't have time to pray. Hello. Did you hear the poem that I read earlier? Okay, the poem is not Scripture, but it does indeed reveal truth. It shows that we have taught to us in Scripture. Prayer will be the number one thing that we're going to seek to put forward. I'm going to try to seek to make sure is front and center in every aspect of every ministry that we have going on here. And I'm going to ask you, if you are a leader, how you have incorporated it and what group it is that you're leading. And if you're not a leader, I'm still going to ask you, how are you praying? What are you doing to facilitate prayer in your life, in the life of this church? Because you are this church. We are this church. So, guess what? Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise, Lord, that you indeed are the God who does pray. You do listen to us and you do speak to us, Lord. That is prayer. Lord, open our ears, our hearts, to hear from you, Lord. Lord, might we drop all the excuses as to why we don't have time to talk to you when we don't have time not to. Father, show us how we can best follow you, that we might know you better and be comforted. We pray this in Jesus' name. One last illustration before. Yesterday, there were some kids driving a car out here in the parking lot, and they were squealing their tires and whatnot. And Donna had stopped by to visit what some activity at the house here on the corner. And she was concerned because these cars came squealing out of the parking lot. It's like, so she called me up. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Pastor, what are you talking about? If you really love somebody and you care about them, if you have any concern for them at all, what do? Is you call and check on them. You call to renew that communication. You want to say, hear from them that everything's okay. Is everything okay between you and God? Call and ask Him. Pray. Let's...